I'm Confucius, and you are now listening to The Breaks Podcast. These are highlights from our Saturday night hip-hop show on KUTX 989 in Austin, Texas. My co-host Fresh and I are native Austinites, and we love talking hip-hop, Texas hip-hop, hip-hop history, and what's going on right now. And just so you know, the opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not necessarily reflect the position of KUTX Austin.
We here to take over the airways, no matter where you're from or where you stay.
You are rocking with Austin's number one hip-hop and R&B show, The Breaks. As always, I am your ever so handsome co-host, Fresh.
I'm Confucius.
Why you look like that? Like, when I said handsome, you scrunch your face up for it. Like, I can't say I'm handsome?
Sound like you auditioned for a dating site.
I am single.
Yeah. So how's everything been going with you?
Everything with me has been good, man. All week I've been in good spirits. So I've been just trying to keep my spirits high and not be too down about the current state of things, since the world is still burning as it turns.
As the world turns.
How have you been?
I mean, I've been the same for the most part. You know, it's like we all talk about it every week. It's just weird, you know. So much has been going on the last few months. It's, you know, you're trying to process different emotions. But, you know, considering, you know, I'm cool for the most part.
That's usually the statement that I use when somebody asks me how I am. Considering the times, I'm pretty good. That's become a normal phrase to say now.
It's like a Mad Max type mentality. It's like, yeah, you know, the world's on fire, we're in the apocalypse. But, you know, it's okay. I didn't get murdered today, so that was a plus.
This is true. This is true. We're still under a stay-at-home order, so
facts.
Nobody's really supposed to be outside, which is crazy because it's a stay-at-home order, but they opened the state back up, so.
Yeah, they're not going to close it back again.
I'm sure it's coming.
I'm saying they're not going to close it.
I saw that they may extend the stay-at-home order.
Yeah, they're going to keep extending it, but that's just going to close. I mean, there might be restaurants that close voluntarily, but it's like, you know, it's weird because it feels like COVID. People have just kind of gotten to a point where it's like, you know what? Yeah, I'll probably end up getting it, but I'll be all right. I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Like, everybody just kind of, it's gone into the category of being completely dismissed. Like, you know,
right.
We were slowly getting to that point anyway, but now it's just in that category, which is completely dismissed.
Yeah, people out and they just don't care. And I can see businesses closing just because, you know, they can't afford the rent or the lease, as we saw earlier in the week. Scratch House and Barracuda and Plush, I believe, were all three officially closed their doors this week because due to COVID-19 and, from what I read, not being able to make the rent because not having anybody patronizing those establishments.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk more about that, you know, in depth later in the show. But
right.
Yeah. You know, a lot, you know, these clubs closing and, you know, these clubs not being able to afford their rent. The live music scene in Austin is going to be so different, you know, in a few months, you know, and I don't know how, I guess we can talk about that later. It sucks, especially with, you know, how supportive Scratch House was of the hip hop scene. And,
right.
You know, we had, and in Barracuda, we had, you know, Summer Jam there.
And South by the South second South by South Breaks.
Yeah, that sucks. But, yeah, so. You know, outside of what's going on, I guess, you know, we do the usual show, music news as it happens, and updates on the world being on fire. You know, with all the protests and everything still going on, of course, we still want to be able to touch on that. We're still going to touch on that on the breaks. You know, like the George Floyd situation, of course, is not an isolated incident. It happens every couple weeks at this point. But what's different about the George Floyd murder is the fact that people seem to be caring longer than normally, which is a great thing. Because it does feel like sometimes, like a lot of, when incidents like this happen, the social justice warriors online jump in and make a big hoopla about it, but don't continue the work. But now it seems like the people who have been doing the work consistently, especially like the ones in Austin, like Austin Justice Coalition and 400 Plus One, all those good organizations who have been doing the work are now having massive amount of support long term, which is a great thing. Because that's how you make change. You continually, you know, press the issue. Dr. Martin Luther King famously had a relationship with JFK and LBJ. So he pressed the issue for as long as it could. You know, he didn't talk to JFK one time. Like, oh, well, you know, he said he'd get civil rights going. And like, Martin Luther King was like, I'm calling this man every week for a while.
And he did.
Like, I'm going to call you and let you know. So I'm really, when we talked about earlier how we're feeling, that is one of the things I latch on to that is positive in my mindset, is the fact that the work is still going. The fact that people are still wanting to have a conversation, even with us, about what's going on. Because sometimes things do happen and nobody really, you know, ask, you know, us, you know, about how we feel about it. But, you know, we have a lot of people, just in my life as well, just asking, like, hey, man, like, what can we do or how do you feel? And then I'm seeing, like, you know, the defunding the police is really gaining traction. And so, yeah, I'm really happy that outside of the fact it had to be a tragedy of a black man being murdered again to get to this point, I'm happy that people are continuing to do the work past a few days.
I totally agree. I actually was kind of prepared to come on here and say that don't let what is going on now be a fleeting moment. Like, I hate to say it, but let me figure out how to word this. I'm glad that the murder of Breonna Taylor resurfaced, because when it initially happened, people were outraged, and then it kind of just went away. And then George Floyd's death happened, and then it came back up. And like you said, I'm glad to see that long term, that the conversations are still happening, that the protests are still happening, that the work is still being done. Although I don't think with like an organization like the Austin Justice Coalition and others, the work ever stopped. But I'm glad to see that people's outrage hasn't fleeted after a week or so like it usually does. Because it seems like, at least social media wise, people are mad for a week, and then the next week they're only being mad about the next thing, and the next thing is usually something menial and isn't even pales in comparison to what they were mad about the week before. So I'm glad that people aren't looking at this as just a trend, and don't let this become just a trend, just something some people jump on just to say, oh, you know, I know what's going on, and then bounce out. No, if you're going to speak out, if you're going to be out there and protest, if you're going to say you're up and you're down for the cause, be up and down for the cause. Don't just jump outside with a poster, with a sign at a protest, and then you're nowhere else in sight, or you don't say anything else. Don't make a statement and you're nowhere else in sight, or you say nothing else on these matters. That's something at my 9-to-5 that is being discussed and being talked about. They were really adamant about putting out a statement that I wrote. And my supervisors are really adamant about not letting that statement be the only thing said, that we have some actionable items and an actionable agenda put forth after the statement. So I'm glad to see that people are speaking up and speaking out, and then going out and donating the money, or out there protesting, not just saying words and then just, all right, deuces, I'm out. I said what I needed to say, and then I'm gone.
Yeah, I agree. One thing I also want to highlight, I need white people to stop kneeling. Please stop doing that.
Like, yes.
And I seen a picture of like these white people like shining like black people's shoes. I'm like, look.
Whoa. I get. I missed that picture.
Or cleaning the shoes. Like, I get, you know, being an ally. But we didn't ask for any of this. Please stop doing this.
Yes.
Stop.
Yes.
Nobody asked. It's very clear what we're asking for here. You don't have to do with the other stuff. Like, the Nancy Pelosi and all of them had to. It was just.
That was goofy.
Laughing.
And I'm going to say, that was
laughing.
Just goofy.
Like, what are you doing?
That was goofy. And I know that was Nancy Pelosi's idea. I just want to know what black congressman co-signed out, like, yeah, this is going to work. This is a good idea. Because I know one of them co-signed it. I know they did.
Stop doing that. Stop. Just stop. We're not. We didn't ask for any of this.
Like, what are you doing? Y'all didn't even throw on the kente cloth scarf and be like, stop it, man. Stop it.
Somebody.
I've enjoyed the memes from it, but stop it. That was goofy.
I saw somebody photoshopped her into the Lion King poster. I was like, yo, come on, man. But yes, please, like, you know, I appreciate, you know, understanding and the work being done by white people at this moment. But yeah, the kneeling and the cleaning of shoes and
you have to do all that. I missed the whole shoe shine thing, man.
Huh?
I said I missed the whole shoe shine picture.
I was like, what is this? Granted, I get my shoes cleaned for free, but still, I didn't. It's not gonna help us beat systematic racist Nancy
Stop
Pelosi.
That just was
and,
goofy.
And those Democrats, that was hilarious. I died laughing. I was like, what is this? What are you doing?
I immediately saw that and was just like, and just shook my head like, who came, like, who, like, and the more I looked at it, the more I just kept thinking, I know this was Nancy's idea. Yeah, I know that was Nancy Pelosi's idea.
I wish I could have been on fly on the wall when she pitched that. Like, yeah, okay, here's the idea. Kente cloth, we're going to kneel in the Capitol. Nobody in the room was like, oh, that might not be a good idea.
That's why I'm saying, what black congressman, like, sat in that room and was just, and during the meeting was just like, yeah, this is going to work. This is going to work. Nobody said, nah,
nobody
Nancy,
stood up
not
like,
the
nah,
way. Nobody.
This ain't it. Like, if I was Colin Kaepernick, I'd be yelling at the TV, really? This is what we're doing?
I'd be making some stern, I'd be sending some stern emails and putting some verbs and nouns and some statements over the phone if I was Colin Kaepernick, because,
oh,
yo,
hilarious.
Bruh.
That was hilarious. Oh.
Also, the NFL needs to publicly apologize to Colin Kaepernick, and I'm waiting for that. Y'all are taking all day, Goodell.
We were having a good conversation. I don't want to get negative. But
don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Once again, you know, this is still a huge uprising over the death of George Floyd. Because it's such, it's the biggest issue in the world currently. Like, there's protests all over the world going on.
Yeah, I heard it was 18 countries that were outside of the U.S. protesting.
Yeah. You know, like I said, so many people have opinions on what's going on, right? So, Lil Wayne, one of the greatest rappers of all time, I'm a Lil Wayne fan, was definitely, what is it called, Wayne Heads? When he was, like, tearing up mixtapes and albums and rapping his ass off. Lil Wayne, if anybody knows Lil Wayne, and I'll say this before I get into the topic at hand, Lil Wayne is kind of known to not be up to date on things. So sometimes Lil Wayne says he'll provide his opinion on topics, and his opinion's a little off. He famously, not famously, but once he made an IG post a few years ago where he kind of dismissed, like, social justice issues?
Yeah, I think it was on IG. I want to say it was on some form of social media, I believe.
Yeah, basically saying, like, he didn't really, you know, support it or agree with it. And T.I. responded to it, telling him, like, hey, bro, like, basically, like, what the hell are you talking about?
He's
like,
yeah.
And then that's when Lil Wayne's oldest daughter, Regine, was like, you know, my dad doesn't really, like, keep up with the news like that. So Lil Wayne provided his opinion on what's going on with the, you know, with George Floyd and everything. His first response was, like, well, you know, if you just acted right. We can't just blame it. We can't just blame bad cops. It's sometimes we have to look at ourselves. And I was like, oh God, Wayne, why are you doing this? And then when he was interviewed on his own show, which I heard is actually pretty good on Apple, and shout out to him, he's been consistent with it. Lil Wayne got nowhere to go. He better be consistent with it.
He got enough to do.
He was trying to explain the reason why he doesn't like talking about social issues or doesn't have a huge understanding of them, because when he was growing up in New Orleans and he was driving through his neighborhood, he would, you know, look out his car window and see, like, a policeman beating up on somebody. He would ask his mom, like, hey, what's going on? She was slapping the back of the head, like, mind your business. So he just, his thought process and the way he gathers information is more or less like, hey, it's not really my problem. I'll give you surface level stuff, but for the most part, I really don't care. And so then he also did an interview with Killer Mike, basically saying the same thing, like, hey, people misconstrued what I was saying. Like, I support all the protest, and what happened with George Floyd was wrong. I just basically don't know what I'm talking about most times. Like, before I give my opinion on what Lil Wayne, people like Lil Wayne, what do you think about his, you know, overall approach to it?
I'm disappointed, in all honesty. I'm at a point in my life where I'm trying not to so much look toward a celebrity to see how they feel about this. But sometimes when you are when it's a celebrity as big as Lil Wayne, you kind of expect them to speak out, and you kind of, especially when they're black, you kind of expect them to say the right thing. And when they don't say the right thing, you're kind of disappointed. And when he did the whole thing a few years ago on Instagram, and he made the whole statement that, you know, he basically kind of was insinuating like racism is dead, because at his shows he sees all type of people in the audience. It's white people, it's black people, it's all different people that come out to see him. And my whole thing was, yeah, that's just dumb. Just because white people buy your tickets don't mean that racism has ended. You didn't end racism. Like, rap didn't end racism. But, and then when he's with Fat Joe and he said the whole thing that, like, yeah, we got to look at ourselves, we can't just blame bad cops, I was like, yep, you know what? That does it for me. I don't want to hear anything else from Wayne. I just don't. Because everybody kept giving the whole excuse that, you know, Wayne lives in his, he just lives in his own world. He just be in his own bubble. And I get that. And I get not wanting to see it all the time, or wanting that negative energy or whatever. But it comes to a point like, man, as a black man, you gotta kind of keep up with it, man, to see what's going on. And if you don't know what to say, just say nothing. That's just how I am.
That's my opinion. If you don't know nothing, you should probably just shut up.
Like, that's nice talk that he gave the... I didn't watch. I saw the clip of him on his show and with Killer Mike. I saw those clips and I just decided not to watch them, because I just didn't want to hear Wayne insert his foot back into his mouth.
And, yeah.
Like, it's nice he gave a whole soliloquy about his mother slapping him in the back of the head and, like, mind your business, that don't have nothing to do with you. But when you come from a place like New Orleans, Louisiana, and the systemic racism that existed when he was growing up and still exists, it's kind of hard to ignore, and it's kind of hard to say, ah, well, that ain't my business. And then when you see, when you continue to see so many black individuals tragically die at the hand of the police, it's still kind of hard, again, to just say, oh, well, that ain't my business. That ain't got nothing to do with me. Because no matter how rich and famous you are, you could be next.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, just because you live in Miami, that means nothing. Like, people have died in Florida. So, like, you could be next. Like, the police don't care who you are. But like we said, man, if you don't know what to say, just don't say nothing, man. Just don't say nothing.
If you notice, a lot of, like, child stars are really, really bad at having opinions on, like, current events. Like, yeah. I would agree, most of us, I would, you know, say a lot of us who grew up and had normal childhoods without being in the spotlight, we eventually grow up and, you know, watch the news or, you know, keep up with the news because we grew up in a household of people who watched the news and kept up with current events. Now, granted, we live in the age of social media, so people are just throwing fake news all over the place. But for the most part, we still absorb news and try to keep up with what's going on. Child stars, when you've been rich and famous and the whole world has been at your feet since you were like 12, like Lil Wayne, you're kind of just used to being in your own world. That's why sometimes I notice child stars say the stupidest crap when it comes to, like, you know, current events or just news. Because they're just like, oh, well, I didn't know that was going on, because since I've been famous since I was 12, I didn't have to watch the news growing up. Like, yeah, so, like, just think about all the time Justin Bieber said something stupid. Lil Wayne, people forget Lil Wayne was a child star. Lil Wayne's not that old. So
he's not. I think he's what, in his late 30s?
Yeah, late 30s. So when his daughter was like, yeah, you know, my dad really didn't keep up with current events, I was like, I completely believe that. I'm like, yeah, I don't think Lil Wayne keeps up. But my thing with it is, he needs to be more consistent on his thought process with these type of things, because he can't on one end be like, oh, I don't keep up with news, and then I go listen to Dedication 2 and he has a song called George Bush where he talks about Katrina, you know, and it's critical of, yeah, President Bush. So I'm like, wait a minute. Do you not support these things, or do you? Like,
you think, that was my thing. Yeah, I saw some people on Twitter arguing about that. Somebody made the statement after his initial statement about George Floyd when he was on Instagram Live with Fat Joe. And somebody was like, that's because Wayne has never cared, and we never heard him say anything about these type of topics. And then somebody replied and was like, no, you clearly haven't listened, because, and then he named off all the songs, and George Bush was on there. I was like, yeah, he's spoken about it, but at this point, Kanye made me look at rappers speaking about social issues totally different now in their songs, because Kanye spoke about a lot of social issues, and then he jumped out there with a MAGA hat. So like you said, I just, if you're gonna jump out there and take one stance, I need you to stay consistent with that. Like, if you don't keep up with current events, just stick with that. You don't keep up. Don't say I don't keep, like you said, don't say I don't keep up with them, then turn around and speak on them. Because it's clear you're keeping up with it if you have an opinion on it.
Well, you're always going to go wrong if you have faith in celebrities' opinions on things, because people's opinions can change. Like you said, Kanye was famously, you know, we thought he was like the blackest, one of the blackest artists we had at that level, and then he just completely just threw that out the window. So,
yeah.
But, you know, Dave Chappelle famously said in one of his stand-ups that when 9/11 happened, he was watching TV and TRL called up Ja Rule to get his thoughts on everything. Dave Chappelle said, who the F cares what Ja Rule thinks? Can you imagine going through a situation and saying, what'd he say? He said, where's Ja Rule to make sense of all this? Where's Ja? That's how I feel about celebrities' opinions. Like, I do not care, because most of y'all don't know what y'all are talking about.
I saw that, though. Like, I saw that happening. I saw mad people saying, I wonder what Kanye thinks. And I was like, I don't care what Kanye thinks. I don't want to hear from Kanye. And people were like, I wonder what Kendrick thinks. Where's Kendrick at? Kendrick hasn't said anything. Bro, I like Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick never says anything. But I don't really care what Kendrick Lamar thinks. Like, Kendrick Lamar's thoughts aren't going to get me through this. It's nice to know that he's out there protesting, that he's standing with us. But I don't need to know what Kendrick Lamar was thinking at this time. Him or J. Cole or any other celebrity. I don't, like, it's like you say, I don't need that. Like, it's not going to give me solace.
And selfishly, I will agree with you too about the Kanye thing. Selfishly for me, I don't want to hear from a lot of them because I'm scared of what they will say. Because once again, when Kanye started opening his mouth these last few years, it really just really hurt. It destroyed my fandom for him. Like, I was a huge Kanye fan.
Same.
I would hate for like a J. Cole to come out and say something very stupid. At this
that
moment,
would break my heart.
I'm
that
like,
would
oh,
break
man, I,
my
I,
heart.
Now your music sucks.
That would break my heart, man. But that's how it is. That's how it is for me now with Wayne. Like, to hear him not once, but multiple times. Like, bro, come on. Like, man, now I've my gaze of you is totally different.
Right.
And I view it like,
it's not hard. It's not hard to not be a huge Wayne fan right now, because his music hadn't been that good in a while. To be fair. If he was still making music at a high level, like, you know, like 15 years ago, then yeah, I'm like, oh, this hurts. But now I'm like, whatever.
Yeah,
I want to
feel
like that anyway. But yeah, I hate when celebrities talk. And I know people now are trying to, you know, say like, well, you know, Kanye did this for you, donated this. And I'm like, hey, man, shout out to Kanye. That's
good for him.
Human beings can be flawed. I get that. I still don't agree with him. And I don't think this whole conspiracy about, oh, he just was faking the Trump hats and MAGA. I don't believe that.
No. I saw that Gia. I want to hear Kanye say that. I don't want to hear from GLC.
Exactly. Like, I could have swore GLC said him and Kanye weren't talking like that. Yeah, you know.
Maybe it had Rhyme Fest said it. Maybe I might believe
he
it.
He definitely talking to Rhyme Fest. At the Rhyme Fest, called him out for not giving that money to that school in Chicago. He definitely talking to Rhyme Fest.
But I need to hear Kanye say that. But even then, I'm going to look at Kanye quite funny.
But even with like Wayne, you know, Wayne never seemed that smart anyway. So, you know, especially with the whole, when him and, you know, Birdman had their little outs, and he was kind of coming out how Wayne operates, like, financially, I was like, no wonder you stayed last. So, after everybody else left. But yeah, celebrities. And so, you know, before we were talking about, you know, venues and the struggle that they're currently having because of COVID. NPR wrote an article basically asking, you know, different venues what would need to happen in order for them to stay open. Per KUT.org, the survey conducted of nearly 2,000 music professionals by the National Independent Venue Association, a recently established advocacy group for music venue owners and promoters, where they were asked 7 weeks ago if their businesses could remain open for 6 months without governmental assistance that went beyond the payment protection program. The association points out that at this point, most musicians make the bulk of their income through live performances and touring, which they can't do for the foreseeable future. The entertainment business is scheduled to be among the very last industries to reopen across the country, and many experts and industry leaders are now assuming that they won't be able to reopen before 2021. That's the gist of the article. Like I said, that goes back to, you know, like the Plush, the Barracudas, and the Scratch House is closing. Austin as a city touts itself as live music capital of the world. And I think we've kind of touched on it. Like, if there's no live music, what does Austin, what is the entertainment part of Austin look like?
I saw this conversation pop up on Facebook. It was after the announcement that Barracuda was closing, and somebody posed the same question, like, is the live music capital of the world? If venues, music venues are closing, then, like, what happens to Austin? Because live music is our tourist attraction. And somebody was like, nah, Austin will be all right. Drinking is our biggest tourist attraction. And I was like, eh, but most bars are a music venue. So it's not like people just, yeah, people go on six in those bars just to drink. But like the whole point of the Red River Cultural District is because like Stubbs is a music venue. Cheer Up Charlie's is a music venue. Empire and all of that are music venues. Yeah, there are bars in there and you go in there to drink, but you're there specifically to see the music. And most of downtown is a part of the music venue, but their whole argument was, well, you know, Rainy Dust is so great, you know, they're just down there drinking. They're just bars and you don't perform, nobody's performing on Rainy. And but I was like, but that's just Rainy. Like, our whole attraction tourist wise is live music. Like, you know, we don't call ourselves the drinking capital of the world. We're the live music capital of the world.
And, you know, it's definitely going to affect, you know, like hip-hop, the R&B scene, because if it affects live music as a whole in Austin, it's going to decimate any type of support, that the little venue support we had for hip-hop and R&B in the city. It's weird to think, like, you know, when everything finally settles down, which, according to that article, and I do agree, would probably be in 2021, that it would be so much gone. Because now where do artists go, right? If a lot of the venues that, they're not even, this is with any genre, any venue that was openly supporting artists, you know, local artists, is gone, then where do you go? Like I said, Austin for so long has been known as a city where you can kind of have a decent living as an artist, a live artist, but with no venues, how's that going to work? I saw the same Facebook post where they were talking about it in there, and they were saying that Austin itself can still survive without live music because of, you know, UT and sports, and it's true. The revenue for artists in the city of Austin has been dropping every year for a while. So it's not like, you know, it was in like the early 2000s or 90s, late 90s, where you can you don't have to have another job and perform here. But especially with Scratch House closing, it's really, really unfortunate because they really supported independent artists. You know, Jake Soldier was having smokeouts there. And I know a few people that, you know, did business with Scratch House. And they were like, yeah, Scratch House kind of gives you the ability to kind of have the type of show you want to have without too much interference.
Yeah, they gave a lot of people free range to do what they wanted to do when it came to putting the show together.
Yeah. So just kind of sucks, you know, to see all that go. What my biggest fear is that nothing replaces these venues. Is that they close and something else pops up there that has nothing to do with live music. That's my biggest fear. I'm hoping that, you know, the Plushes and the Scratch House and the Barracudas being closed are the last round of, you know, closures. But if something else pops up there, it's another venue. But, you know, with COVID and, you know, like I said, you know, live music not probably coming back till next year, I don't know. It's a grim outlook.
Yeah, it's a strange time. My biggest fear is the same as yours. Is I hope that those venues don't stay empty or don't become something other than a music venue. And I was talking to somebody else about it, and don't quote me on this, but they were basically saying they think it's something that has to do with the Red River Cultural District, that those buildings have to be like music venues, at least as far as Scratch House and Barracuda go, since they, I believe, both were a part of the Red River Cultural District. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to those venues, if they stay a music venue, if they become something else. I highly doubt that they'll tear them down and build condos right there, because that means you would have to tear down the whole block, and every bar on that block isn't out of business. And that just would be a weird place to put a condo.
Yeah, I know, right? Can you imagine living there and you're right? I mean, it sounds good on paper, but then you get there and you're like, wow, it's always loud here. So no.
Yeah. We saw how that played out down there on 2nd Street with ACL Live and the people that live over there.
I just kind of feel for the venue owners as well. Or, you know, because I don't know, it sucks. It really sucks. And this Austin, especially, like you said, we're not the drinking capital of the world. We're the live music capital of the world. Yeah. And we have no live music currently. I thought it'd be, it might not, well, I don't know, because bars opening happened quicker than shows coming back. Because I thought it'd be a bloodbath on 6th Street with, you know, closures. But, you know, now the bars back open and most of them ain't following their capacity limits. They seem to be doing okay. But live music, yeah, they have no relief in sight. So,
yeah,
it sucks.
It'll be interesting to see how things push forward. I do agree that I don't think things will be back to normal or back functioning, especially the music scene, until like 2021. And I don't think it'll be early 2021 even.
Yeah. And that was time for our first segment of the night on Popular Opinion with Mr. Fresh himself.
All right. So Black Twitter and LLC Twitter and Rock Nation Brunch Twitter are probably going to kill me, because this is just how I feel. When it comes to entrepreneurship and being an entrepreneur, it is a great thing. I think it's a great thing for a person to run their own company, realize that they don't want to work for somebody else and they want to work for themselves. And that more people these days and in these times are pushing for entrepreneurship. But my thing is, that's just not the path for everybody. So that's my unpopular opinion. Like, everybody's not meant to be an entrepreneur, a small business owner. Everybody's not meant for that life, that work. Everybody can't handle that life and that work. The reality of it is, you need workers. Like, you need 9-to-5 workers. You need employees to clock in and out and fill out timesheets. That's just reality. Like, no company is a one-man operation. Not even, like, musicians or actors. Like, the business of acting, like, if I'm an actor, like, I have a publicist, I have a manager, all of that to keep me on track, to get me the movies or the shows that I want. Like, if I say something outlandish, I have a publicist to, you know, kind of spin it and make sure people don't try to quote unquote cancel me. So like, nothing is like a one person operation. You're going to always need workers. And so like, I think in this day and age, people have kind of grown to shame working for somebody else, and everybody should be the boss. Everybody needs to be a boss. But if every single person is a boss, then who's really a boss? Like, if everybody's a boss, where are the workers at? Cause you're not running. If you come up with a skincare line and it just takes off, like, you're going to need somebody to produce that skincare line. Like, you can't make it. You're not making it yourself any longer. Like, you got to put that in a factory and mass produce that. So like, you're going to always need workers. You're going to always need the working class, the 9-to-5ers. And I just think these times have grown to kind of look down upon working for somebody else and being and having a job where you clock in and out. So that's my unpopular opinion, man. Entrepreneurship is not for everybody, and that's not the path for everybody. Now it is that time of the show where we gain a little bit more wisdom than we had about an hour ago. Here is Confucius Says with Confucius Jones.
Confucius Says with Bill. That'd be wild.
That would be crazy.
But, yeah, so, you know, Confucius Says, where I try to impart some wisdom that people most probably don't even listen to anyway, but whatever. I'm going to keep doing it. With the protest and with the issues going on in the world currently involving, you know, the murder of George Floyd, there's been a lot of talk of defunding the police, right? That idea has been gaining a lot of traction across the country. And on the surface, when you say out loud, defund the police, people automatically freak out. Like, wait, you mean no police? Like, none at all? And people who don't want to understand, you know, what is currently going on in the world or what people are trying to fight for, automatically try to just completely denounce it. No politician has come out and said that they are for defunding the police. So I just wanted to break down what defunding the police means. Defunding the police is basically saying that the police force in this country does not need to be fed millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars for doing a job that they are currently not doing the best at. we have been defunding everything else in this country, from education to hell, NASA barely gets any money. So what defunding the police means is that there are resources that could be allocated to other parts to help improve the community around these police departments and not just continue to militarize the police force. And so there was Camden, New Jersey, completely defunded their police force, right? And basically rebuilt from the ground up and allocated resources to other places. And their crime rate dropped by, I think, more than 60%. Minneapolis has said that they were considering also defunding their police force. So basically what I'm trying to say is when you hear people say that they are trying to defund the police, all it basically means is that they're just trying to reallocate resources to other places. Because the police, like, you know, police can't be mental health officers. They can't be teachers. They can't be the military. They can't be, like, there's so many things that police are required to do for their jobs that, in my opinion, they're not suited to do. So those resources and money that gets sent to them every year or every, you know, whatever quarter needs to be reallocated to other places. And that's what my Confucius says. The Breaks Podcast is a production of KTX 989, the Austin Music Experience. You can listen to The Breaks Show live every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is produced by Confucius Jones, Fresh Knight, and Elizabeth McQueen. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at The Breaks KUTX, and you can find more episodes at KUTX.org/The Breaks.
Our theme music was written and performed by Austin's own DZ Brown.